It's Tech Tuesday. We check in with CNET every Tech Tuesday. Roger Cheng is here, the executive editor and head of CNET News. Hello, Roger.
Hello, how you doing?
Pretty excited about Amazon Prime Day. Are there two days in one?
Yeah, so this is the longest Prime Day ever. It's a supersized version. Last year's was 36 hours long. This time, this year, which the Prime Day, which kicks off on July 15th, will run a full 48 hours. So 2 days of crazy deals and discounts.
And this is where they say over at Amazon, and it's true, different deals every couple of minutes, right? They just keep loading them up.
Yeah, exactly. There are a couple of deals that stay evergreen that are kind of on the site for a long time, but there are a lot of these flash deals, lightning deals that pop up, you know, every 10 minutes or so, and it is hard to keep track. They say that there will be over a million deals shown off during the 48 hours.
Anything they specialize in? I know electronics, a lot of TVs, and is that probably the best or everything?
It's a little bit of everything. There's a lot of good. There's a whole lot of bad, too. So it is a bit of work to actually filter through and find the deals that you want. You know, the best bets are obviously Amazon-branded products, those Echo speakers, Fire tablets. Those generally get the best discounts of the year. If not now, then Black Friday. Otherwise, you know, you've got an array of TVs, smart home equipment. You've got DVDs, movies, really, it's a wide assortment of things that go on sale.
I find myself having a difficult time trying to, like when I go into a record store, sometimes I forget what I want. So I think I'm going to stockpile things and just keep them in my cart. And then hopefully the sale price, if they are a deal, will come up. That might be a good way to do it. And then I just click and I'm done.
Yeah, so easy.
That's a smart move. I mean, I would recommend going into Prime Day with a list of things you want as opposed to just randomly searching for stuff that pops up.
Roger, CNET has some advice about Disneyland. Everything about Disney now is the Star Wars Galaxy Edge. So what do we need to know to get involved on that?
Yeah, so before, you know, as of June 24th, you no longer need to make a reservation to see Star Wars Land. That was the issue for the first couple of weeks when it launched. Now, it's basically open to everyone, but you still do need to make a reservation to get into that land. You basically need to use the Disneyland app, link your group's tickets to that app, and make sure that you reserve a spot in Star Wars Land, Galaxy Edge, which is the Star Wars Land attraction. Basically, they want to keep the flow of traffic in there fairly lean, so they rotate people in and out. So it's not as easy as just, you know, paying for a ticket, going into Disneyland, and then heading over to Star Wars. There is a bit of an extra hoop to jump through to get there.
But don't you think that works out better? Someone I know might be going there this summer and is married to a Star Wars fan who for sure wants to be involved. But with the app, you know, you do link that up to your pass, and that's better than just going there blindly and waiting for 5 hours.
No, absolutely. I think this is a really good policy to kind of keep the environment a little bit less crowded, and it's a little bit more organized, right? You're told when your designated slot is for experiencing Star Wars Land, and you get a certain number of hours before they kind of kick you out, and so it kind of keeps the traffic there fairly limited. I think they want to maintain that essence of Star Wars, and if it's overcrowded, then that kind of screws up the illusion, right?
A friend of mine, Roger, posted pictures of Disneyland last week, and they showed all the other major rides completely empty. There was nobody in line anywhere except for Star Wars Land.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great if you're a fan of, like, Splash Mountain or Space Mountain. You can just ride all you want.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to that. So as of June 24th, which was yesterday, so prior to that, Bill, that means those lines you had to make, didn't you have to stay at a Disney property or something, or was that Disney World?
Yeah, you didn't necessarily need to stay at one of the properties, but you did need to make a reservation to Star Wars Land specifically. And they weren't, so basically if you went in without making that reservation, you bought a ticket to go to Disneyland, they wouldn't let you into that area.
Oh. But it's no additional cost, right? It's the regular park admission that gets you in there eventually.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no additional cost. They really just did it for crowd control.
All right, and I have noticed that there have been advertisements for 5G, but 5G wasn't really available. Is it now?
So 5G is available in certain areas. It's a huge asterisk there. We've done a couple of speed tests with some of the various carriers out there. Verizon's out there in Chicago and Minneapolis. Sprint is there in Dallas and will be in a couple more markets in the coming weeks. AT&T is in a number of different cities, I think 19 cities, but their service is actually closed off to consumers. They're actually only right now dealing with a small number of small business customers. So 5G is out there. You can get a 5G phone, a Galaxy S10 5G. Sprint has an LG phone that also has 5G on it. But we're not really recommending that you jump on 5G right now unless you absolutely have to be one of the first to get on this network, because the coverage is fairly small. I think it's really more like Wi-Fi hotspots than broader cell coverage at this point. And so it's still kind of in early days. There's definitely some growing pains with 5G. I would say second half to early 2020 is when you might realistically want to look at 5G as a service.
No mention of iPhone here.
No, the iPhone isn't expected to have a 5G version this year. We're expecting that to come the latter half of next year.
Is there a huge difference between 4G and 5G? Is it noticeable?
1G.
It's a difference of a G.
It's
that's
a 4G.
It.
Who doesn't want another G, right?
I need another G.
It is a huge, at least from the tests that we've seen, there's a huge jump in speed. We're talking about speeds that are faster than what you can get for your home broadband connection, like way faster. And so there is definitely a significant bump in that. You can download a two-hour movie in a couple seconds.
Oh,
so it is extremely fast.
Wow.
That's a huge difference. And really, this is just sort of the beginning, right? 5G is going to open up all kinds of different new apps that we haven't even thought of yet, right? Just like the way 4G opened things up for live streaming and Uber and all these apps, the huge speed boost here with 5G can really change the way we do things with our phones.
All right.
God, you can download a movie in how long?
Seconds.
In like 2 seconds?
We got one. We had a download. It wasn't 18 seconds. I apologize. It's a little bit more than a minute. It took about a minute to download a full two-hour movie.
I hope I can watch it in less than a minute. That would really be something. That 1G makes a huge difference.
It sure does, Wendy.
Well, thank you for keeping us up to date on everything. He's Roger Chang, executive editor and head of CNET News. You can find him at CNET.com or Twitter, Roger W. Chang. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news, and then there's more show, including pet expert, noted pet expert Steve Dale. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.